All right, we have moved into the section of this course where I'm dealing with the objectives of communication. We've dealt with, you know, the ways to communicate with your hands, with your voice, by telling stories, using illustrations, outline, all these different ways of actually communicating. But now we have moved into a section where I'm talking about the purpose of communication. We have the means of doing it, and now we want to talk about the purposes of communication. And the first one that we're going to talk about is challenge. How do you challenge someone to do something? What is challenging communication? Communication designed to motivate someone to do something. Negative challenging. I want to start off with the negative. Number one, challenging with a critical bite. So sometimes people will challenge, they'll communicate a challenge, but what they really want to do is say something negative. They want to criticize someone. That is not the best way to challenge. I'll give you an example. I remember preaching a sermon, I forget what it was about, but after the service, in front of a bunch of people, one of my parishioners, a lady, came up to me and said, I have a book for you, a book that I read on the topic that you preached on, and my guess is you'll want to redo that whole sermon if you read this book. So she was, on the one hand, she was trying to say, she started out, well, that was a great sermon, but you might want to redo it after I give you this book. So it was a sort of a compliment, but what she was really saying is, your sermon was lacking, and I have the answer that would fix it. So it sounded like an encouragement, but it really was a cut down. So sometimes we challenge people, but it has this negative bite to it. Number two, challenging as a projection of one's own deficiencies. A lot of parents will do this. They'll challenge their children to do things, especially the things that they have failed at in life. So I'm going to give you these things. Sometimes pastors will do that with their staff, or business owners will do that with their employees. Challenge everyone else to do something that they haven't been able to do. Number three, challenging without encouragement. One of the love languages that works with me is challenge. I like a challenge. I like a challenge in sports. I like a challenge in almost any endeavor of life. I don't like getting gifts, and I don't need a lot of words. The encouraging thing for me is when someone challenges me. Now, my father was a great challenger. He was challenging us all the time. I grew up in the city, lived in the city, only knew the city. But when I was 15 years old, my dad took our family and we moved out to the country. We moved out to a farm. So one day, I'm in the city. Next day, I'm on a farm with cows. And what my dad did is he showed my brother and I, who was a year younger than I am, he showed us how to milk the cows. And then the next day, he was off to work. So he challenged us. He gave us real responsibility, tens of thousands of dollars worth that we could mess up, but he would hand those things to us. So he was great on challenging, but he was short on encouraging. So he would challenge us, but he'd do it without encouragement. He would not say, I think you can do it. He wouldn't help us do it. He wouldn't teach us what we should do. He'd show us one time and then walk away. Challenging with no recognition and celebration of progress. He wasn't very good at that either. And the reason he wasn't very, I mean, I understand it now, he wasn't very good at it because his father never did anything with him and never taught him anything. So my father didn't know how to teach us. My father had to learn everything on his own. If he wanted to do something, he had to learn it and do it on his own. Now, he was better than my grandfather, but he still didn't know how to help us. He knew how to get the challenge out, but he didn't know how to help us. And a lot of leaders have this problem. They want to challenge people. They want to tell people this is the thing that we need to do, but they don't know how to encourage them and recognize the process. When you see a toddler learning how to walk, you know, they get up and then they fall. They don't get it right away. You have to be encouraging. You're challenging them. You have your arms reaching out. Yeah, you can walk. Keep going this way. But they fail more times than they succeed. It takes a while. There's a process of learning something. So when you challenge, don't just challenge, but actually help people and realize that it's a step-by-step process. Positive challenging. Number one, challenging plus believing in the person's ability to meet the challenge. Don't just challenge someone. Sometimes we challenge people to do something and we know that they can't do it. And all we want them to do is fail. We're trying to show how inept that they are. Challenge and then believe that they can do it. Challenge and believe that your kids actually can succeed. Instead of always criticizing and putting them down, you kids never do anything right. A lot of leaders are like that. They treat everyone around them like they can't do anything, and then they wonder why they don't try. Believe that they can do something, even though it may be a process, even though they may fail on the way to success, but believe that they will get there. Challenging plus encouraging the person in the process. Encourage along the way. Everything that we do in life is a process. I didn't get to be a speaker in front of you just by, you know, descending from somewhere. It was a process. I learned it over time. And I had encouraging people along the way. I had people encourage me when I was a disaster, when I didn't do very well at all. But they found one thing. You know that story you told in the middle of your sermon? That really spoke to me. Now, they could have said the rest of the sermon was confusing and your points didn't match up and I couldn't follow what you were saying, because they could have said that because it was true. But no, they picked out that one thing that I did right. And then I felt like, well, maybe I can do this. And over time, I learned how to do it better and better. Positive challenging, number three, challenging plus support in the success of the challenge. Don't just challenge people to watch them fail, but support them in the process. Believe that they can do it and lift them up. Number four, challenging plus reassurance that your relationship is not based on them succeeding in the challenge. This is probably the most important. The downside of being a challenging person, that's, you know, I like to challenge, I like to get challenges. You know, my father was a great challenger. He challenged and I've, you know, succeeded at a lot of things because he was a pusher. And he challenged and he challenged and he challenged, and that fit my personality. But sometimes it doesn't fit a person's personality, and it's very easy for the one being challenged to start thinking that I am loved or I am accepted if I succeed at the challenge. A person like my personality, we love a challenge, and therefore we don't mind failing a lot. I don't mind failing a lot. When I try a new sport, I assume I'm going to fail. Of course. I'm just learning this. Others will not try anything new because they don't like that feeling of failure. So when you're challenging someone, if you have that challenging personality and you're trying to motivate people through this challenge, you're trying to motivate them to do something and you challenge them and challenge them, be careful of whom you're challenging. Because they might get the impression that your love for them or your care for them is based on how well they do in the challenge. And this is hugely destructive in families. You know, parents challenging their children to do well at school or to do well at a sport or do well in some arena of life. And kids often mistakenly think that if they fail in the challenge, then parents won't love them. In other words, that love is based on works and not grace. And sometimes we project this on God too, because God challenges us too. When you read the pages of the Bible, you get all this challenge. Be holy as I'm holy. You know, make disciples of all nations. You go on and on and on where the Bible is very, very challenging. And so a lot of people mistakenly think that God's love for them is based on how well they succeed in the challenge. Challenge and love are two separate things. God challenges us because He wants the best for us. But if we fail, we can start again. We can try again. Positive, challenging words. I believe that you can do this. So in my congregation, you know, a lot of times my sermons at the end have some kind of challenge. So, because of God's love, because God forgives us, we now need to forgive those around us. So that's a challenge. And I think you can do it. I think there's that person. There's that person that has hurt you. There's that person that has mistreated you. There's this person that has been unfair with you. Maybe it's your boss. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your parents. I don't know. But I believe that you can forgive them. I believe that you can go to them and say those words. So, I mean, if you believe in people and you communicate that you believe in someone, they're more likely to do it. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? Why not try this thing? I'll often use that, you know, from the pulpit. What do you have to lose? Some people accept a marriage situation that is nothing but brokenness, and then they sort of coexist together, and they go, well, it probably won't get any better. And they don't want to believe it can get any better because they've been disappointed in the past. What do you have to lose? Try. Believe. What do you really have to lose? Yeah, it could fail. It's failed in the past. That's the worst that could happen. A little failure. Number three, give it a try. Why not give it a try? Now, if you challenge people and you have this high expectation that they're going to succeed incredibly, and there's no room for failure, then people won't try. But if you allow people to fail, look, give it a try. You might not succeed the first time, but at least give it a try. This is an acquired taste. There's a fruit in Asia, it's called durian. And Asians will say it smells like hell, but tastes like heaven. And it smells like a cat did something. I mean, it's a horrible smell. They don't allow it in hotels. And I remember, you know, someone first giving it to me in Asia. Here's this fruit that smells horrible. And, of course, I don't want to try this. Give it a try, he said. So I tried it, and it tastes like hell, too. I mean, it smells that way, and it tastes that way, too. But they said, you have to keep trying. You have to keep trying. So I did. I just kept trying. It was horrible. Kept trying. It was horrible. Kept trying, and it was horrible. I kept trying, and now I love it. Try it. The most important ingredient of a challenge is vision. A lot of times people will challenge people to do something, but they won't tell them why. My father always thought we should clean up the barn or clean up the garage. You see that it's a mess. You should just want to do that. Why? Why should I want to do that? How am I connected to this thing? What's the purpose of this? Yeah, he never shared the whole vision for the whole farm. What are we doing here? And what's my part? What's my role? How do I fit into the future of this thing? Is this my business? Is this your business? Am I a hired hand? How do I fit into this? People need to know why. At churches, I hear, you're at a church and then they make a bunch of announcements. And we need this. We need teachers. We don't have enough teachers for our kids' programs. And they just go down the list of all the needs and challenge. We need this thing and we need that. But why? Why do we need teachers? Well, we need teachers because we have all these children. And some of these children come to our church and their parents don't come to our church. And this is the only thing that they will learn about the Bible and God's plan for them. This is their only shot. And they're here. And we don't have anyone that is willing to help them. See, I need to know why. And that's what a vision is. A vision is always, why are we doing this thing? Why do you need my help? I need to know the why of something, and now I can get motivated. So that's step one. You have to share the vision. What needs doing? Why it needs to be done? Who is best to do it? See, we need this thing, and you, I see the talent that you have, and we need you. We need you to do this. I'm starting a preaching class at my church, and I've identified five people that I want to start preaching. And I came to them, I said, we need younger people preaching. I'm an old guy of 62. We need something young up there representing the young. And this is what I see in you. I see a potential in you. And I just went down the list. I talked to each one of those. And I said, you have a way of saying things. You have a passion for God. And I just went down the list of the things that I saw in them that made them the specific one that is qualified to do this thing. And I'm giving them a vision of what could be so that they accept the challenge. Okay, what needs doing, why it needs to be done, who is best to do it, and how it might be done. Okay, here's how we're going to do this. This is how I'm going to help you in this process of preaching. Here's the things that we're going to do. Here's when we're going to meet. When could it be accomplished? My goal is in 6 months that you are giving a sermon in our church. All right, second most important ingredient of a challenge is reward. What's in it for the people that I'm challenging? So that was my problem with my dad. My dad wanted us to just see all the work that needed to be done on the farm and just to do it. But I didn't know what the reward was. See, it's not my business. I'm not making any money at this. You know, he was paying me an hourly wage. I didn't know what the process was. I didn't know how the money comes or how much things get sold for or how much is the price of milk and how. I don't know what the profit law. I don't understand any of this. It's not my business. And you want me to own it and to care for it like it was my business. Well, then you have to make it that way. How am I part of the reward of this whole thing? So when you challenge people, they need to know what's in it for them. You know, if I challenge people, you know, in terms of parenting, this is how you need to be a parent. You need a parent that gives kids responsibility, that teaches kids discipline. Okay, what's in it for the parent? What's in it for you is if you do that, is you get these kids that actually can accomplish things. Kids that go off and make things happen and you don't have to worry about them. That's what's in it for you. That's your reward. There's always some kind of reward. Joshua 1 verse 7. God says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. I want you to follow my laws. That's a challenge. It's going to be tough. But if you do, you'll be a success wherever you go. There's a reason why I'm challenging you in this thing. Third most important ingredient, just out of reach. Just out of reach. When you challenge someone, you need to challenge them with a thing that is just beyond their reach. If it's within their reach, it's not much of a challenge. And what's interesting is, if it's too small of a challenge, if it's too weak of a challenge, people aren't motivated. People aren't motivated. It has to be enough of outer reach. It has to be a big enough challenge, or people don't care. They don't get excited about a challenge that's real easy to do. Luke 1, 5 and 7. In the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron, but they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. God comes to these two people. They've been waiting for a child all their life. You can imagine. They get married, they're excited, they're young, they're going to have a child one day, they're going to start a family, but then nothing happens. So they pray to God, and nothing happens. Every year, they pray, and nothing happens. Year after year after year goes by, soon, it says that they were old, soon, you get to the point where you're not praying anymore. This is too big of a challenge. And that's when God answers the prayer and He comes and says, you will have a child and His name will be John, and He will be the forerunner to the Christ, to the Messiah. Often God puts things just beyond us, and He finally comes through when we're about to quit. See, that's a challenge that keeps you going forward. Share challenging quotes. So if you're giving a speech and you're trying to challenge people, one good way to challenge people is to give them examples of other people's challenges. So here's Francis Chan. Our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter. Or Thomas Edison. Many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. So what is that challenging people? It's challenging people not to give up. Maybe you feel like giving up in some area of your life, your marriage, your family. Maybe the Christian Leaders Institute, maybe this course. You took the last test and didn't go very well, and some of the questions weren't very good. Sorry about that, by the way. It's hard to write multiple choice questions. Not always easy. You don't always get it right. So anyway, you've failed, and it's like, you feel like quitting. And if you just power through those times when you feel like quitting, or ask God or get support from somebody, if you can just get by that, all of a sudden, it's free sailing after that. That's often true in life. Here's a quote from Thomas Watson. Would you like me to give you a formula for success? It's quite simple, really. Double your rate of failure. You're thinking of failure as the enemy of success, but it isn't at all. You can be discouraged by failure, or you can learn from it. So go ahead and make mistakes. Make all you can. Because remember, that's where you will find success. Isn't that a great challenge? See how many times you can fail at something. Share challenging Bible quotes. Philippians 3, 13 through 14. One thing I do, says Paul, forgetting what is behind. Yeah, I failed at that thing. I failed in this relationship. I failed with something that God has called me to. I've failed in ministry. Forgetting what is behind, and straining toward what is ahead. Straining, yearning. I have a passion for something. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Press on. You know, when I first came to the church I'm at, it was a disaster. The whole church was falling apart. There were a church of 300, went down to 100. I came in there, and there was this brokenness everywhere. It was the worst ministry experience I ever had in my entire life. It was so filled with gossip and hurt and pain and people hurting each other and the church being destroyed. I didn't know what to do. But this verse, I held on to this verse. And I kept saying it over and over again. Press on. About a year later, we had this awards ceremony where we're trying to honor people in the church for what they do. And another guy and I, we made these plaques. And every one plaque, it said what the, you know, for teaching our kids or whatever the thing that they did in our church. But on the plaque was this big red button. We made this button and it said, press on, like a button. Press on. And that became a symbol that we are a group of people that are going to press on. Are there troubles and problems? Yes, but we're going to press on. Are things not the way we want? Yes, they are not the way we want, but we're going to press on. Is our marriage perfect? No, it isn't, but we're going to press on. Press on. Challenge. Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Has God done any good work in you? Can you find anything good in you? Can you find anything good in your marriage? Can you find anything good in ministry? Can you find anything good? If you can, it means that God is already at work in you. And that means he's not done. It's not all you want it to be. But if you can find anything in your life that God has started, can you imagine what it might look like when God is done? See, that's encouraging. It's challenging, but it's encouraging. Because people can find something. You can find something. You've started this class. You've already gone through a bunch of lectures. You've already taken the tests. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're down. Maybe you don't think you can do this, but you've already succeeded in the past, so why not think that you can succeed as you go forward? Acts 10, verse 36, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. When David had served God in his own generation, he fell asleep and was buried with his fathers and his body decayed. A real pick-me-up verse. His body decayed. But I love this verse. Because it says, when David had served God in his own generation. We're on this planet a short period of time. You and I. I don't know where you are in the world, but we share this moment of time. And God has put us here for this time to do something. That's the reason why we're here. God could have created a world where you don't exist, or he could have created a world where I didn't exist, but he created this specific world because you and I exist, and we are here for a reason. To do something with this generation. We can't wait till the next generation. We're responsible for this generation. And there are people that need to be reached for Christ on the planet today, people that you know that must be reached by the people of this generation or they will not be reached. When David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he did what God had called him to do during the time that he was living with the needs and opportunities that were around him at that time. Then he fell asleep. Then he died and was buried with his fathers. You know what? If I serve God, God's purpose, through me, in my present generation, and I complete whatever God wants me to do, then I am ready to go. Fine. To fall asleep, be buried with my fathers, and my body decay, well, why not? I've accomplished why I am here. So that, to me, it's a challenging, but it's a very encouraging verse. God has a purpose for you. You may not be aware of it. You may think, not me. I failed at everything that I did. I'm taking these classes and I'm learning things, but I wonder how I'm going to use it in any useful way. Maybe you've tried to do ministry in your church and you got rejected. And you wonder whether you have anything. Do I have any gifts or abilities to do this? The only reason why you're on this planet is because God has a plan for you. He has a ministry for you. And maybe it's going to start by what you're doing right now, taking these classes and learning things. And God is preparing you for that ministry. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. Paul says, I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. What a challenge. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Wow. Share challenging stories. The moon. There's this video clip of, you can Google it, of President Kennedy in the early 60s challenging the country and saying, we are going to put a man on the moon and return him safely at the end of this decade. And it happened. I watched it. I watched it live on my black and white television in 1969. I watched Neil Armstrong come down the ladder and leap onto the moon. First man to ever walk on it. But that challenge, it was a challenge that invigorated a whole country. Carnegie. Maybe you've heard of Carnegie Hall, Andrew Carnegie. Incredible story. Andrew Carnegie was an orphan. And he came under the tutelage. He swept the office. I can't forget of what oil man this guy was, but he was in competition with the oil man Rockefeller. You've heard of the Rockefeller name. And oil was a big business at that time. And this other guy that was a competitor of Rockefeller was trying to make oil happen, and he had this young orphan kid sort of clean up the office. But as this orphan kid grew up, he was given more and more responsibility, and soon he was the right-hand man of this oil guy. Well, this oil guy wanted to move his oil, you know, from one place to another, and there was a big river to cross. I forget what the name of the river was, but it was a bigger one. And so he came to Andrew and said, I want you to build a bridge across this water so we can take trains across and bring the oil and so on. The problem was there wasn't enough steel. Steel was a new thing. It was like you could make hammers out of it, but no company was big enough to make enough steel to go across this river. So Andrew Carnegie started steel mills. And then the oil guy that he was working for went out of business. He Rockefeller, you know, put him out of business. And Andrew Carnegie went 100% into steel. This orphan kid made millions and millions of dollars, and he set up a foundation, Carnegie Hall, and all the different Carnegie libraries all around the United States. But it's an incredible story of someone who had nothing. Someone who had nothing, and someone else who saw something in him and encouraged him and gave him a challenge. It was the challenge to build a bridge that changed his life. So what challenges are you facing right now? What challenges are you ignoring right now? A challenge that might change the course of your life. The Great Commission. Jesus worked with his disciples for 3 years, and just before he ascended into heaven, he gave them a challenge. I want you to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make disciples. Teach them. Teach them what I've taught you. And I will be with you. You won't be alone. I will be with you. That's the greatest challenge that we have today. That's the challenge, really, that Christian Leaders Institute really exists for. That's why we're trying to help you. We're trying to help you get what you need so that you can fulfill this challenge that was given 2,000 years ago to the disciples, and now it's being passed on to you. And that's Christian Leaders Institute. That's our challenge to you. The big challenge, we want to help you so that you can be used for God's kingdom. That's the big challenge. The little challenge that I want to leave with you today is just do the next lecture. Do the next quiz. You don't have to worry about the whole thing. Just do the next one.